The Great Dome rests on, in effect, a second larger dome. And the top of that second dome has been cut away so the Great Dome can rest on it. And that dome's weight is being carried by the larger underlying dome. It's known as a pendentive system. And the pendentives are taking the weight so that you can increase vastly the space within the church. It's not quite a square. It's still rectangular, but it's essentially a circle on a square. And any visitor going in and seeing the Great Dome, decorate it with mosaics. The base of it is pierced by 40 windows, so all this light floods into it. It's an absolutely magical experience. And I'm sure many a barbarian wondered, how did the Emperor Justinian get to put a dome some 14 or 15 stories high by our modern counting to float over what must have looked like a flood of light? And we have reports from the later Middle Ages, especially from Queen Olga of the Russians, that when she saw the Hagia Sophia, she converted immediately, for surely God must dwell in this magnificent building. Justinian also was responsible for many practical buildings within the city. One of his most favorite, most important buildings, construction, and one often overlooked, is his construction of the cistern system of Constantinople. You can enter it today very close to the Hagia Sophia, and you only see a small portion of it. And I mentioned that lectures back that From Russia Love, with Love was filmed there with James Bond zipping around in the cistern of Justinian, which is, as I say, a very curious way of using the cistern. The cistern today, part of it is on display, is really the recycling of pagan monuments. Many columns from the old Byzantine temples, the temples of the Greek city, are down there as part of the structure holding up the cistern, and the city just laced with cisterns. There were some open ones out in the farther reaches of the city, but also the subterranean cisterns, which are marvelous for the storage of water, and it provisioned the city in the event of a siege. Some of them today are being reused as shopping malls, which sounds rather strange, but there's a number of them that have come to light and are have been remodeled. And they're not really the most ideal places for shopping malls because there's problem of seepage and the like. And in a way, the cistern, the use of all those pagan monuments symbolizes very much the change in Constantinople, because there's several cases where you can go down to the cisterns today, and you'll see that the columns have been put upside down so that the figure of Medusa or the pagan head is shown facing down and therefore defeated. You know, you can't miss the message. This is a Christian city, and don't forget it. Justinian's achievements are more than just the city of Constantinople. As I mentioned in a previous lecture, the bishops take the cue from the imperial government, and the dome churches of Constantinople become the model for constructing similar churches across Asia Minor. This is very well documented at the Church of St. John in Ephesus, which is a massive dome church built by the Bishop John of Amida, who was a really tough character from East Syria, who spent much of his career destroying pagan monuments. Apparently, the altar of Pergamon was on his hit list, among others. They appear in a number of cities, such as Hierapolis, Perga, Xanthus, all cities discussed earlier. By Justinian's time, the cities of Asia Minor acquire a distinctive Christian skyline. It is a skyline of dome churches. It is a skyline of bell towers. And that skyline will dominate the churches of Asia Minor down to the 13th and 14th century when the Seljuk Turks arrive. And so Constantinople really had an enormous impact on the development of this Christian civilization in the peninsula of Asia Minor. What I finally wish to close with is that Constantine, Justinian, John Chrysostom all contributed into making Constantinople the heart and the mind of this Byzantine civilization. Constantinople endured through the crisis that followed Justinian's death. It became the basis for emperors from Heraclius in the 7th century to Michael VIII in 1261 to mount political and military recoveries as the empire faces foe after foe. It is a remarkable story, and we'll be discussing some of the high points of it in the next lecture. But Constantinople provided the institutions, the resources, the sense of cultural identity that it was linked both to a Christian and classical past that allowed the emperors of East Rome to preside over their possessions in Asia Minor, to generate political recovery in the face of odds that sometimes seemed overwhelming. So the city really did play the role of queen of cities. And Constantine, John Chrysostom, the Emperor Justinian all get the credit for making this possible. And what we will see in the next lecture is the role of Constantinople, both in the political life and the military life of Asia Minor, and then in the next lecture after that, in its cultural development in the Byzantine Age.